doctrine of Artha Demon Vanquished. One blissful day during Krishna's first year, Yashoda lifted up her resplendent jeweled-like son while passing through the main chamber of the palace. She lovingly fondled and caressed him. With his perfect intelligence, Krishna immediately perceived some danger. Employing his Yogamaya potency, Krishna decided to reveal an ecstatic childhood pastime to show compassion to those rotting in the material world. Thinking thus, Krishna made his body so heavy that he forced his mother to set him down. Mother Yashoda, who is worshipable by all the three worlds, suddenly felt very tired from carrying her heavy son. As a creeper hangs down from the weight of ripened fruits, similarly, Mother Yashoda bent over from the heavy weight of her maternal affection. Afraid of dropping her beloved son, Yashoda carefully sat Krishna down. By the sweet will of the Lord, Yogamaya influenced Yashoda's mind. Without the slightest worry, she left Krishna alone outside the house and went inside to perform other domestic duties. Mother Yashoda had no idea that she had left Krishna in a dangerous position. Yashoda's bewilderment had no other apparent cause than the all-powerful manifestation of her son's majesty. Realizing her mistake upon entering the house, Yashoda ran back to get Krishna. Meanwhile, a demon named Trinavarta descended upon Vrindavan. Taking the form of a huge cyclone, he terrorized all the people and animals. The whirlwind created by the demon seemed like the exhalation of hot breath from the wives of thousands of snakes burning in separation from their husbands. It appeared as if the earth transformed into a blacksmith's bellows, emitting a loud sound in all directions. Or was it the ears of the elephants controlling the four directions, which look like large flat trays used for winnowing grain, flapping back and forth, causing the whole sky to fall down? The body of Trinavarta, full of high winds and a dense covering of dust, resembled the body of a diseased man infected with ignorance and passion due to fever and cough. Although a crooked person may externally show some sweetness, he will never let anyone enter his bitter heart. Just as excessive wine drinking covers the intelligence and makes one go crazy, Trinavarta covered all directions with dense darkness. As a battlefield fills with darkness due to the movement of masses of elephants, similarly, Trinavarta's whirlwind body enveloped Vrindavan in a dense cloud of darkness. Trinavarta, an extremely powerful demon sent by Kamsa, disturbed the natural balance of the material world made of five gross elements. He converted the three worlds into one element, namely wind. Although the dust particles within that whirlwind danced joyfully, the Brajavasis felt greatly distressed. At its zenith, the whirlwind touched the heavens, and it was so dense that it blinded everyone on earth. It seemed like the cloud of smoke created by the Lord of the Snakes during the dissolution of the universe. Intent on killing Krishna, Trinavarta quickly attacked with his powerful winds. He dropped a deadly shower of dust, grass, and broken pots on the people of Vrindavana. Mother Yashoda worried about her son's safety. She did not realize that her darling son, whose soft hands and feet possessed the beauty, fragrance, and coolness of a lotus flower, could easily kill the biggest giants or the immortal demigods in heaven. Suddenly, Trinavarta kidnapped that tender baby who would soon cause his death. But Krishna, who is worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all the demigods, did not feel the slightest pain or distress. The whirlwind sent the sweet fragrance of Krishna's body into the celestial abodes. Krishna happily assumed a powerful feature while contemplating how to kill the demon. Trinavarta felt that he was carrying a fire-bound in cloth, a deadly poison within his throat, or death personified. To satisfy the celestial damsels desirous of his darshan, Krishna rode the whirlwind into heaven. He looked like a man running up a flight of stairs as he continually rose upward atop Trinavarta. When Krishna struck the demon with his hand, which smelled like musk and looked as splendid as the stem of a lotus, the demon's life air slowly left his body. Then with a final blow, Krishna crushed the demon to dust. Krishna looked like a blue sapphire locket hanging from the demon's throat. When they crashed on the ground, the demon died. But Krishna landed safely on the earth. Seeing this amazing feat, the Brajavasis filled with joy. Though appearing as a mere baby, Krishna proved his supremacy by displaying his unlimited potency. That great whirlwind demon who showered dust, rain, and clumps of earth all over Vrindavan touched Krishna's body and attained the supreme fortune of becoming eligible for liberation. Thus, Trinavarta did the best possible act to purify his family line. When Yashoda could not find her son after the cessation of the storm, her heart turned into a desert of lamentation. At that time, she lost all patience, and unconsciousness personified appeared as her only companion. Feeling helpless and overwhelmed, Mother Yashoda collapsed on the earth. Though suffering immensely, Yashoda's faint breathing indicated that she still lived. Understanding her intense pain of lamentation, the Brajavasis tried to revive Yashoda by sprinkling water on her face and speaking comforting words. They said, "O pious and learned lady, the extent of your good fortune is unlimited. Your son gives happiness to the eyes of everyone. The honey-sweet dealings of Krishna Kumar continually increase our attachment to him. Due to your purity, your son is still alive. O King and Queen of Vrindavan, now we realize that all your fortune and prestige is caused by your illustrious son. Mother Yashoda, although you are apprehensive about your son's safety, you can give up all your distress, for illusion has left our village. Do not let your mind burn any longer. Lift up your son and rejoice." Thus reassured, Yashoda regained consciousness, but she was still in anxiety. She said, "Just a few minutes ago, I could not tolerate the weight of my son, so I put him down. And then that demon captured him. Can you explain how a tiny baby can suddenly become so heavy that even his mother cannot carry him? I guess this must be due to my bad luck. Alas, how could my son, who is as soft as butter and cannot even tolerate the pain of my lap, endure the tremendous pain generated by that demon who attacked Vrindavan with a shower of grass, high winds, and pieces of bricks? Previously, Providence protected my son from the poisonous breaths of Putana and the falling cart demon. Now I pray to him to always protect my beloved son. Alas, I got my son back because of the Lord's protection. From now on, I will never take him off my lap and put him on the ground. Quickly help me find my son. Where is he? Has the wind demon snatched him and carried him away? As long as I live, I will never again leave him outside alone." Saying this, Yashoda fell down unconscious. Sympathizing with the plight of Yashoda, the elderly gopis again tried to pacify her. Due to the burning fire of lamentation, Yashoda's lotus face looked morose and took on the hue of a red lotus. Her sadness submerged the Brajavasis in an ocean of distress. On the outskirts of the village, where he had previously played upon the breast of Putana, Krishna Kumar triumphed over his enemy by smashing him on the earth. This location brought success, just as victory is assured for one choosing a favorable constellation before fighting. While vanquishing that demon, Krishna, the greatest of all relishers, looked like a blossoming Aparijata flower amidst a garden of thorns, or a blue lotus rising above a lake choked with tall reeds, or a small shining lamp atop a dense cloud of darkness. Krishna stood as the embodiment of transcendental knowledge amidst an ocean of ignorance. He resembled a river of nectar flowing in a desert, or a flower of personified bliss atop a tree of misery. Seeing the beautiful blue baby in a safe position, the crowds gradually dispersed. One person commented, "This low-class, faithless demon has kept the demigods from blessing us with their association. Taking the form of a whirlwind, he prevented all auspicious acts and tortured Mother Earth. Finally, he destroyed himself by the reaction of his heinous sin of attempting to kidnap the Prince of Vrindavan. Since he did not even have enough piety to approach Krishna's house, he died outside of the town instead. Someone else said, "Oh, look at this boy. He is the eternal Param Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The effulgence of his unlimited opulence is always expanding. He is an invincible razor-sharp sword annihilating the Asuric kings with his awesome power. From the very beginning, Krishna established the glories of his name by killing the Putana demon. It is he who freed everyone from distress by destroying Shakatasura. He also demolished that demon who terrorized the three worlds." Another Brajabasi said, "Like King Indra, Nanda Maharaj must have performed severe austerities and done many good deeds to accrue such vast piety. As a result, Nanda Baba received a boon that enabled his son to defeat formidable asuras like Putana and others. There is no other way to explain how all these demons met their death." Having accepted Krishna as the wealth of their lives, the Brajabasis rejoiced upon finding him free from danger. Picking him up in their loving arms, they carried Krishna into Yashoda's inner chambers. The atmosphere filled with the happy news of Krishna's well-being. Witnessing the pleasure of the Brajabasis also brought waves of bliss to the mind of Asurari Krishna, the destroyer of demons. Observing this joyful pastime of Krishna, the elderly gopis smiled and said, "Hey Bhagavati, you are worshipable by everyone in the world. Due to your good fortune, your son is now safe and happy." Such reassuring words greatly pleased the mind of Yashoda. When rain clouds forcefully pour water on a burned-out forest, a fresh abundance of life reappears to beautify that forest with elegance and contentment. In a similar way, Yashoda looked refreshed and beautiful upon regaining her beloved son. Though happy, Yashoda felt somewhat anxious and confused by the unusual event. In this state of bewilderment, she said, "Where is he? Where is he?" Compassionately taking charge of Yashoda, the Brajabasis gradually nursed her back to consciousness. At that time, Yashoda's eyes looked like a pair of lotus flowers moistened with cool drops of dew. Her name, fame, and position surpass everyone in creation. Waking from her trance, Yashoda stood up and drowned in an ocean of joy upon beholding her all-attractive son. Other ladies glorified Krishna Kumara. "Hey Krishna, hey Krishna!" A dying man receives new life by taking Sanjeevani Rasa. Similarly, Yashoda, who nearly died in separation, revived upon meeting her dearest son Krishna. She felt she had retrieved an invaluable lost treasure. Sitting Krishna on her lap, she lovingly gazed at him with unblinking eyes. But being only semi-conscious, Yashoda could not relish the full bliss of Krishna's direct association. As her sleeping senses awoke in the service of her beloved son, she said, "Oh darling, from the time of your birth, you have caused so much trouble to your mother. Of course, this is not your fault, so how can I blame you? I am the one who left you outside and unprotected. This shows my heart is as dry as wood, and therefore I qualify as your mother in name only. But since I am known as your mother, you have never treated me cruelly. Although that demon kidnapped you, because of your innocence, you somehow escaped and returned. Oh, my beloved! Your love for me is unprecedented and transcendental. I should be punished for my grave mistake." Out of intense motherly affection, Mother Yashoda suckled Krishna with her breast milk and put him to rest. Although appearing in a human form to act as the son of Yashoda, Krishna Kumara eternally exists as the personification of transcendental bliss.